Welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast.
We're two sisters on a mission to entertain
and educate by learning from women who live a purpose-driven life.
Be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast. Today, we have Brandy Ledford with us. Welcome, Brandy.
Hi, thank you.
So today we're going to talk about transitions, whether that be seasonal or just like all the journeys through life. But I wanted to start talking with you about who is Brandy Ledford? Like, what makes you tick? Like, who is Brandy? Like, we can Google you. We can find out, you know, what shows you've been in and things like that. But we're always more in depth here, and we want to talk like more to people's soul and purpose.
Well, first of all, don't Google me.
Okay, we won't.
There's lots of stuff on there that will tell you who I am that is not about who I am. And I appreciate that you know that I'm more than an actress. Of course, that's my job. That's a career I've had my whole life, my whole adult life, and that's what I've done. But it doesn't make me who I am. And I am just sort of figuring that out after all these years, that I'm not my career, because that's what I put so much of my life on. But you know what I am? I'm a truth seeker and a healer. I mean, I'm not a healer. I don't heal other people. I've just healed from so much that's gone on in my life. But now I just seek the truth. I just want grounded, rooted love. And I want to be encouraging for people. I want to fight for other people and for things that are right and against things that are wrong. You know, I love God. I'm a sober woman. And sober and clean from drugs and alcohol for a little over 9 years. And I'm pretty transparent about my experiences because I like to share my strength and hope with others. I'm a mom. Like, definitely I'm a mom. And so I love to be there for my children, and I'm really helpful with my family. But I think it's different with your own kids, right? And so my older son is 25. He leans on me a lot. We have this incredible relationship, thank God, now. But for me to be able to share what I've been through makes my experience not go to waste. And so I like to think of myself as somebody who is just willing, really willing to remain teachable, really willing to share in an open, honest way so that maybe someone else doesn't feel as alone as I did at a certain point in my life.
Who has been your biggest teacher?
How experience?
Yeah. So yourself, really, right?
I mean, only because I've remained willing. Yes. Yeah.
And you're such
an outward, I learn.
Yeah. You are such an outwardly beautiful person, but you're also that on the inside. And I love watching you on your social media platform because it's like, even you showing up to do like the Santa Monica stairs. And like, it's like, you were like, well, when I was watching it, it was like, you were almost like coaching me to like go out there and do something that's, you know, like physically exhausting, but then rewarding at the same time.
Oh, that means so much to me. Thank you. I really love all the compliments, of course, but when people say to me that I'm anything on the inside, it's so nice for me to hear that because I don't have really much to do with what I look right. Like, you girls are incredibly beautiful, but what we do with our work on the inside and with our brains and our hearts and our souls and our integrity, it's really about what the work we put in. So it feels like a more real grounded compliment. So I really appreciate that. I'll tell you a story about those Santa Monica stairs. I have a friend who's a trainer to a lot of famous people, and she actually hadn't been on the stairs in 2 years because of COVID. And she saw my video and she went out the next day and went and ran the stairs. So I'm glad that
yeah,
was
inspiring, you're deeply, you know? Whether you know it or not, which is so, it's so cool and powerful. Well, I know you were willing to share maybe a personal story about something that was a transition in your life, and maybe that was, you know, your transition into sobriety or whatever you're open to talking about today. But I think people would be open to listening like to you about just life in general and how to stay open and stay willing to be always learning. I think a lot of people close off when things are hard, you know, and you go into your shell and your fear just kicks in, and that's okay. That's a totally normal response.
But like, how can someone deal with that? Or do you have any tips to bring to the table about transitions and just holding space for yourself to be that student?
Yeah. You know, I would talk about my sobriety, but it's just a constant progress. You know, I'm so clean and sober. And so the transition from not being sober to being sober wasn't like a pivot. And then now I'm just sober. That's a work in progress. I mean, I'm sober still, but I think when you talked about transitions, the thing that came to mind most recently is COVID, my response to COVID when it first happened in March of 2020. And I did not handle that transition well at all. And I don't know many people who did. But for an alcoholic or for a trauma survivor, it's really triggering. And it really, that isolation, that fear, that mass panic and confusion was so triggering for me. And then like being in lockdown and that, it was suffocating in a way that, and it was all without my consent. It was all like, I didn't choose this. I don't know what this is. And it just triggered me in such a way that I actually had a nervous breakdown. Probably the first real nervous breakdown in my life. And it was all because I was not prepared or willing to be in acceptance. And so the transition was like this 180. My life was over. I thought it was just constant fear. And I did a few things to help myself that really helped that transition, not only during that time, but it kind of gave me some extra grit that I didn't know I had. So that transitions moving forward. So, and like for me, and a friendship ending is so brutally hard for me. And I've had two really important friendships in my life and for the right reasons, but devastating. And I did not handle those well. And I was extremely brokenhearted. For years I held on, right? And I was getting into that with this COVID response where during the beginning of the pandemic, I lost my mind. And I had to start thinking, I wasn't really at acceptance yet. So my big overall takeaway is going to be acceptance and learning what acceptance is and accepting the what is. But like, you got to get there, right? You don't just get to, I mean, I don't even think like the Dalai Lama just goes, oh, this is all terrible. I'm going to be in acceptance now.
Right.
I think you really need, and if he is, then it's not hard for him. So for me, like getting, journeying towards that place took a couple things. One, I had to voice my fears and my thoughts to some trusted people. So I reached out to the people in my group who I really trust and who felt the same way. And this has happened to me every time in my life where I've really voiced and not isolated and not sheltered in place and gotten really so scared of my own feelings that I was too ashamed or afraid to be vulnerable. Whenever I've shared my vulnerability with somebody else, they share theirs with me and I don't feel alone anymore. And it's just like, you can take a breath and they might have some insight, or my best friends can help me identify my feelings. It's real hard for me to identify my own feelings, but just sharing that vulnerability is a real start to a successful transition, right? So I was doing that and I was able to take a breath, but it still was hard. He was 6 at the time, he's 8 now. My 6-year-old was in kindergarten and it was really challenging for me to be at home all day, every day with him. My husband started working from home. I had to do remote school with this, like, it was a lot. So I said, well, what's the worst thing, right? And logic isn't going to help me. Logic will never help me get out of the fear that I'm in when the transition comes and it's going to be difficult. Like with my friendships, when a friendship ends, logic that it wasn't a good friendship doesn't make my heart stop breaking, right? So time takes time. But during that time, when you're going from glory to glory, you're in that two spot, right? Like during that time, when you're getting strength, where the learning is in the waiting, what do you do? I have a really solid, we talked about this before, I think, Teddy, we have a really solid meditation practice. Mm-hmm. And I got out in nature and I realized that if I can just really, truly just breathe and just be in the moment and say, what is happening currently, right this second? And just really be okay with who I am. Knowing that being true to myself might mean being vulnerable, might mean setting some boundaries, might mean, which I had to learn to do. I had to learn in that transition phase to really set some boundaries so that I don't lose my mind. The worst thing that can happen to me when I struggle with transitions and I'm triggered with trauma and some bad stuff is happening to me, the worst thing that can happen is I go off the deep end. So I have to safeguard that process. And I have to really say, like, I can't do that right now. And if I'm able to say that, great. But a lot of times it's even scary for me to ask for what I need. After all this time, it feels so hard for me. But it's like life or death for me.
Sonia's really
life or death for me.
Yeah. Sonia's diving into her boundary setting. Yes. And her coach said what about it?
Well, she said that my self-care routine actually starts at night. So you think, like, I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to eat breakfast and do my superfoods, mm-hmm. you know, my whole routine. But really setting yourself up for success starts at night, because that's when I become anxious. You know, I don't meditate. I just, like, try to go to bed, but then I can't turn off my to-do list or my what ifs. So I've actually been practicing it, and it's helped me, like, tremendously. So I, like, have a bedtime like a child, and I do my meditation, and I basically set myself up for a good night's rest.
Well, and I know she shared the tool with you also to set boundaries with yourself before you try to set boundaries with other people. And I think that that's a big tool. And, like, I've never really heard that. Like, you have to, you know, work on yourself before you can, like, start working on your relationships outside of yourself.
Well, right. And that to me is especially sleep. Sleep is so important. And I make sure I get good sleep. I like to wake up really early so I can have my morning to myself before the house wakes up and I have to start being of service to everyone else. And that is such a me time. Like, people are like, why you wake up that early? I'm like, oh, please. It's like the biggest blessing if I can wake up that early. Then I can at least set myself up. But what you said too, so important about setting boundaries with yourself. But I think once you're comfortable with yourself and you're really able to sit with yourself and be true to yourself, then you become the anchor so that that will never change, right? And I've had to learn that I actually can be the anchor for myself so that life can change. COVID can happen. I can get in lock. We can get back in lockdown, right? Well, now I know it's not going to be so bad. But all the other things that are going to happen in our lives that are going to force you to transition, force you to change, force you to give up things you didn't want to give up. But if I can just say, you know what, the transitions are going to go smoother and easier because I'm okay. I know I lived in a lot of fear in my life of transition. So as a result, I tried to control all this stuff going on so that nothing would change. I hate change. I especially hate it when other people impose it on me, right? So, but now what I do, and I try to do this, is really focus on if it all changes, if everything goes away, I mean, God forbid it doesn't, but I am going to be okay. And that learned self-sufficiency is real new for me. And I think that that is my biggest takeaway for how to deal with transitions. It's just getting to a place in yourself where you can be an anchor so that everything around you can go and swirl and just become, but you're going to be okay because you have you. Now, that's not counting my relationship to my higher power and sobriety and the circle of super strong women I have in my life and my family who is incredibly supportive. And I do daily readings and meditations and exercise and walks and limit like whatever bad food I love to eat that makes me feel crazy or caffeine and all this stuff, right? There's like lists of stuff. All that is not negating. But once you get down to it and you're in your time alone at night when it's just you, or if you're doing some self-care practices, whatever that means for you as a woman, if it's me in my morning, it's like, that's the thing that is going to pull me through. And God, I wish I knew that when I was young. I always see these memes and people going, what would you tell your younger self? Like, oh my God, I would tell myself to believe in myself. I never believed in myself. So whenever a transition happened, of course I spun out.
Right.
I didn't know I was going to be okay, but all along I was okay. And like I said, a lot of people have helped me out, but really I pull myself out.
Yeah.
And so just that's a stabilizing tool that I've used, and that I've learned in the last 18 months, just because I've seen that, oh, I can be resilient. Oh, I can handle these really tough things. And for me as an alcoholic and a trauma survivor, really triggering.
I love that word anchor. Yeah. I think that that's maybe the missing piece in all this self-care conversation is, like, obviously we've used the phrase like fill your own cup first or put on your oxygen mask. But another great idea is like build that anchor, solidify that anchor, weld your anchor every day.
Yeah. And then find what that is for you, right?
Whatever.
I don't know what it is for everybody. I know what it is for me. And I know that I have to, I like to say, I like to have a real vertical life. So my relationship with my higher power grounds me so that my horizontal life is manageable.
I know, just yesterday I was thinking, because I'm starting a new job, so we still are doing Girl Powerful, but I'm taking another opportunity, and I felt really unsupported by, like, my new job, and, like, I didn't feel like I was trained properly, I didn't feel like XYZ, or they set me up for success, but then I was like, I have to find a way to be emotionally grounded, otherwise the only person who's going to be affected is me. And that stress and that anxiety is going to manifest in my body, because that's how I handle stress. So I really was just having my own pep talk, being like, how am I going to be emotionally grounded and stable and not let this affect my, like, my being?
And that's a transition.
So did you ask for what you needed? Are you able to ask for what you need at work with your new job?
So I asked for more communication, and I need to be trained better in XYZ.
Because it's a big deal. She's selling solar panels. Like, you have to know the science, and you have to know when you're going out and selling, you know, upwards of $50,000 units to people's homes. You can't just be like, oh, I don't know.
It's all because, like, clean tech versus working for a nonprofit is very different. Mm-hmm. So it is a big transition for me, which is why I'm loving this conversation. And I need to use all my tools that I have to make it a good transition and work for me.
You know, I moved around a lot when I was a kid. First of all, congratulations on your new job. Yeah. It's great what you're doing for the environment. And we have solar panels and all of it. It's great. I moved around a lot as a kid. I was in a different home many times, different schools throughout the same school year many times. And that real sense of imbalance happened because of it. So it was very, and nothing was ever done with care now. Like, you know, no one sat me down and we're like, okay, listen, sweetie, we're going to move again and you're going to change schools. And I know it's going to be hard to have to make new friends again and leave your best friends in the whole state or the whole city. No one said that to me. I was just like, okay, now we're in this house. Oh, now I'm in here. Now in seventh grade, I went to three different schools. No one was like, so that was like, so hard for me when transitions happen now. And I'm real gentle with myself and I'm real careful because I'm 52. No one's gonna be like, hey honey, we're gonna do this. Like, I just have to go, okay.
Yeah.
This is a big transition. This is happening. I don't like it. I don't have to like it. I do have to accept it because I'm not gonna be able to change it or control it. But what can I do in it so that I don't fall apart and so that I might even learn something, right? And I always find I learn stuff about myself, which creates more of the grounding that creates the anchor.
Do you have any tips on, like, moving forward and catching yourself and doing, like, repeating, like, bad habits? Do you have any tips on that? Because even, like, my self-talk, I'm like, oh, I'm catching myself. I need to
speak. Oh, yeah. Good positive self-talk. Good. Yeah. Good positive self-talk is really important, and it's a really effective tool to manifest even better self-feeling, right? So self-talk starts to manifest good self-feeling or bad self-feeling. Breaking habits is really only, to me, achievable a little bit at a time, and not to backtrack so far when you don't, when you slip. Mm-hmm. Like, so what, we're going to have a, so say today you say, I'm not going to eat any potato chips, and you eat some potato chips, you know, it's really good to then not eat the rest of the potato chips or eat another bag of potato chips, right? It's good to just go, okay, I did it. Because what I'll do is I'll say, well, I already had one, I might as well have the whole bag. And that's going to happen in all the ways. all the bad habits,
right?
I mean, for me, if I start thinking of something bad, I'm like, well, I already thought it, might as well do it. I'm down a rabbit hole.
That's amazing. You're good at commitment.
That's not realistic. Yeah.
I'm like, this guy I shouldn't be talking to just texted me. Well, I might as well text him back.
Might as well text him back. Yeah, sure.
Right? So what I like to do for that is just wait a minute and then maybe wait 2 minutes. And then, you know, if you text them back, and that's a really hard one.
Yeah.
That's a really hard one. That's why.
She didn't even tell me that.
It
really.
Just happened she just now.
She didn't tell me.
It just now happened? So maybe just, I don't know. That's
read
a hard one.
Now.
That's a tie that is unbeatable. I mean, yeah. Those are definitely challenging things to deal with. Mm-hmm. It would be very hard for me not to respond to that text.
I'm not
going to
respond.
I'm no help. I'm sorry.
Brandy's like, I guess you should just answer him.
You can't eat the whole
well, you know why?
Chips and text him back.
I know, but you know why? Because if you think you're actually going to not text him back, if you think you're like capable of not responding, and if you think you're capable of just saying no, this is not aligned with my values, this is it.
Yeah,
okay, you're stronger than me.
Yeah, I know. I'm not that strong,
but
she'll do it when I leave in like 20 minutes when we're done with this, you know, like it's kind of like in the quiet time. Yeah,
yes, there's a big high to that,
definitely,
but you know, try to limit it.
Yeah, well, speaking of feeling high and just high on life, our ending question is always, what makes you feel most alive?
Oh, what makes me feel most alive? My children.
Mm.
I have to say that my children and the way that their penetrating gaze just sees me, knows me, and loves me anyway, takes my breath away.
Mm, that's beautiful. Yeah.
No one's ever said that.
Yeah.
And we've had so many mothers on here. So
do people normally say?
Oh, no one's ever really repeated anything. It's really interesting.
It's all about like sharing messages, communication.
Yeah, talking with like-minded people. But sometimes,
you know, obviously that's all great and that makes me feel great too. But the biggest,
I always look, like, the eye contact, the gazes. That's powerful.
Both of my sons gaze so deeply into my eyes, and I'm like, oh my God, you're really seeing me, you're really seeing me, you're really seeing me. And then they just love me.
Beautiful.
It's so special.
Well, do you have anything coming up that people can look out for something from Brandy, or what are you involved in? What's the rest of the year look like for you?
You know, I've actually been doing a number of podcasts recently, so I'm really proud of those. I'm really excited. I flew to New York a couple months ago and did a really special one for NYU, and I'm looking forward to that coming out. I have a movie coming out. I don't know when yet because of COVID. We weren't really finished filming it, so I'll keep you updated on that.
Awesome. Where can people find you on Instagram? What's your handle?
On Instagram, I'm at Brandy Ledford, BrandyLedford.
Yes, go follow Brandy. She's amazing. She's the best dancer to Justin Bieber songs that I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you. I love that song.
Brandy today dancing to Peaches.
Yeah, I'm like, oh.
You guys, Justin Bieber? I love Justin Bieber.
So do I.
The problem.
Have you met him?
I'm unbelievable now.
Have you ever met him?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
If he texted you, you would text back.
I mean,
hey Brandy, no. It's the babes.
Yeah.
Hey. All right. Well, Brandy, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks to our guest. For more information on her, see the show notes.
Please hit subscribe if you have not already. That way, a new episode is delivered directly to your feed every week.